Yeah, I pray to the altar of Marcus Smart, so I'm definitely biased on that.
Yeah, no, I know. I remember, I know you are a big Marcus Smart fan, and, you know, I think this is a good place to start this on, and, you know, we can kind of move from here, but, you know, we're talking a little bit about Marcus Smart. We're talking about that sign with Dennis Schroeder. I think that was, you know, a big sign, obviously. Like, the man took way less money to come to you guys. What do you think about that, at, you know, first of all?
I mean, I feel bad for him because he kind of just fumbled the bag a bit there. Like, he had 4 years, $84 million on the table for L.A., to live in L.A., and play basketball in L.A. next to LeBron and, you know, A.D.
Maybe
that sucks. Now you got to go to Boston for the winter? I left Boston for the winter.
Agree, my man. You know, I agree with that. And, you know, even though, like, I guess he didn't want to really play behind, you know, Russell Westbrook, which is, you know, which is fair. But, you know, the money was right, though. Like, sheesh, $84 million to play behind Russell. I mean, I would do it. You know, Andrew Rashad would do it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that offer he turned down before last season.
Mm-hmm.
So, which is also on him, kind of, because, like, if you're going to turn down, you know, a four-year, $84 million offer, maybe have a little bit better season. His defensive rating was, like, 109 almost last year, which is about league average. And he, you know, like, he's been pretty up and down. Like, he's had some pretty tough years defensively. He had one, like, pretty good year defensively, but I think that was the year that, like, the Hawks were just nasty defensively. So it kind of just, like, of course his defensive rating's good because everyone's defensive rating was good that year on that team.
Okay.
But for a dude that's, like, 6'8 wingspan, 6'3 and fast, he's not as good a defender as you'd hope. but yeah, dude, I mean, he couldn't even get he was trying to get us to give him the 1-1, like, whatever mid-level exception kind of thing for like 9.5, but it was gonna make us hard cap, so we were just like, no. And he was like, okay, well, I'm not talking to anybody else, so what else can you give me? It's kind of, it seems like how it went, which sucks. But I mean, so do you think he's starting?
You know, that's been a thing. It's crazy. Like, I've been on Twitter, you know, and I've been pretty active these last, you know, 24 hours as far as this conversation has gone. And, you know, people have told me, you know, I'm crazy for even saying that Pritchard should start. I think Pritchard is the guy. Like, you know, watching him at Oregon, but not only that, but also watching him, like, mid-season with the Celtics and what he did last year, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And people have to – I don't mind if people want to, like, disagree with me. That's cool. But, like, you know, playing the position and being, you know, more of a true point guard that, you know, was a ball mover, but then can knock down the open three.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I want, man.
Very, very, very good points. Two things, Dennis Schroeder, that drives me crazy with him. Not a great ball mover. He's a ball sticker of a point guard. One of the worst ball sticker point guards in the whole freaking league. Who honestly can't shoot a jumper. Like, you like him when a ball stickers Chris Paul, because he's got that mid-range game, and, like, he'll knock down open shots, he'll make his own shot. Schroeder's jumper is hit or miss, and it's not a good three-point shot. Like, he's got elbow jumpers, but that's kind of his spot, and that's kind of it. And he's got a lot of floater stuff, a lot of finishing around the rim. But I love Pritchard for his ball movement, like you're saying there, and his also defensively, like we're saying, Schroeder's a little bit of a weak spot defensively. Mm-hmm. And you know, you need that ball movement, especially, like, complementing the Jays, because, like, we're building around the Jays. Do you want a guy who's ball dominant, not as an excellent defender, and, you know, not a knockdown three-point guy? Or do you want the opposite of that, which would be Pritchard? But, yeah, I think it's, like, I mean, it is what it is, because, like, $5.9 million, we weren't going to get a better player than Dennis Schroeder for that money. But I do kind of worry, like, I mean, I think he'll blend in, because, like, the team chemistry is strong enough. Like, he's going to fall in line, I hope. He's gone rogue on random. Right, he's gone rogue with LeBron. He's gone rogue with Westbrook as his teammate. Rogue. Like,
he has been in the best situation that he could possibly be in, Mike. And he has somehow found a way out. Okay, and he is going to find the same. I'm a big fan because, like, he honestly, you can give him the ball and he can score it, and you love it. And he's done that ever since he was a young kid. And mad props to him, a real actual hooper, like no doubt about it. However, you're talking a Celtics team that is in the East that is like, honestly, now you're looking at how tough the East is with, you know, Kevin Durant and all these teams moving in, the Bulls upgrading, right?
Yep, we'll get to that, that's for sure.
You know, they really needed something to help them put them over the edge, but it's kind of like, damn, like, is he really coming there to do that, or is he coming there to get his numbers, Mike? Like, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's
a contract, right?
It's contract year too, like you're saying. So it's like, hopefully he, you know, falls in his role and, you know, can find his way to his numbers efficiently too. I think like the best possible scenario that maybe this is where Udoka and Stevens are thinking is one of the struggles for the Celtics for the last several years has been bench scoring and like relatively just having depth of bench points in general and a guy who created his own shot off the bench. So maybe it's, you know, he's not starting, he's not sixth man, I don't think necessarily, because you don't want him like necessarily overlapping with the Jay's minutes all the time, maybe when one Jay's out there kind of thing. But you know, you have lineups where like Schroeder, you know, Jay's on the bench, one of the Jays are on the bench and Schroeder and Richardson's on the bench, you know, and Schroeder's kind of that next option. But the thing is too, like Nesmith and Romeo have shown huge, you know, the steps that we've kind of hoping that they would take. They're starting to show that, like at least in summer league, which that's where it starts. Like Rudy Gobert was defensive player of the year, essentially showing those things in summer league the year before. So like as much as it's just summer league, it's you know, that kind of stuff translates. And so I don't know. My dream is that he's just like a bailout scorer guy. And, you know, sometimes we run the offense around him, like kind of like how like a Lou Will, you know, kind of or Jamal Crawford kind of offense would run, like when Paul George acquired on the bench, you just let Lou Will do his Lou Will thing. Because otherwise it just doesn't make much sense.
I'm with you, man. And honestly, like I look at it too, and I'm like, dang, well, you know, even if it's a situation where he has so much success, it could be, you know, what we're talking about is that sixth man. And then even if like Marcus Smart is like doing really well, it could be a situation where you flip-flop, you know, Pritchard and Marcus, you know, and Marcus is able to start, you know, because he, you know, he did do that, you know, in early in his career, as well as like at Oklahoma State, like he was that driving force running the offense. So I do think he can do it. It's just going to depend on, you know, is he going to do that in the league and like accept the fact that he's going to have to be a ball mover and more of that defender like he always has been, or is he want to still score it and defend, which is great, but like come off the bench and like compliment Schroeder. Because, you know, he can guard the lesser of the scorer, you know, of a guard, but he can still really give it, you know, his all on the offensive end and then allow, you know, I mean, you know, I'm just thinking, man, because like, how can it work, you know? How do you make it work with like smaller guards and, you know, guys that are, you know, offensively a little bit challenged? Like all three of them are like unique, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the good news is like it's not so bad defending that you have to hide him. Like he's skinny as hell, but, you know, he's not terrible defensively. Like, so he's not a hide guy, but it's more of like a consistency and effort, like night to night kind of thing, which again, contract year, hopefully that's a motivating factor. And I'm not bullish on it because like we're saying, like Russell Westbrook was his teammate for a bit. He kind of did his own thing. LeBron was his teammate for a year on a contract year. He kind of did his own thing. And, you know, I worship the defensive god that is Marcus Smart, I don't know if he's going to fall in line just because Marcus Smart and Ime Udoka are saying that, but Udoka's saying that he's putting the ball in Smart's hands this year, which I like because I think that's kind of been an underappreciated and underutilized kind of part of his game. He can be turnover prone a bit if you put the ball in his hands a bunch because he tries to do a lot of those, like, you know, long arm swing pass kind of things and one-handed off the dribble stuff, and it can get him in trouble a little bit, but he has really, really good point guard vision. Okay. And I think so, like, Marcus has improved a lot as a shooter, but there are some nights where, like, you know, he's kind of cold and he's still kind of going, and, you know, he'll sometimes hit a couple late threes, which, you know, swing the game, but sometimes having the guy that isn't necessarily the most efficient pull-up dude being the designated distributor ball handler is a good way to prevent him from taking random hero threes at times where it's just kind of wasting a possession. So maybe that, you know, helps in that sense. But that's enough Celtics. I don't even want to get ahead of ourselves on the Celtics because I still am like, you know, we could be as high as a 3 seed. We could be as low as the freaking 7 seed. Who knows? We'll see what happens the first couple weeks. Probably will tell us a lot about the team and how they fit together and, you know, how guys like Al are looking. But your Bulls, I'm a little more bullish on the Bulls.
You know,
we haven't heard your take yet. What did you think when you saw that Bulls got Lonzo? Because that was move one. That was like, oh, they're waking up.
You know what? And, you know, and it's been crazy because I've been having the time to kind of listen to this from Bulls radio, being back home in Illinois for, you know, the last 7 days or so. So I'm listening to what the Bulls thought about some of these moves. And, you know, to start with Lonzo Ball, you know, what I've been hearing is like, oh, okay, well, it was a good move for us because there's a lot of incentives for his contract to be able to pay out that full $85 million. Mm-hmm. You know, and it was one of those things where, hey, it was big for Clutch Sports to kind of announce and, you know, make sure Lonzo got his money. And that's what kind of people are playing out to be. But at the same time, what I'm going to say is that I think he's worth every penny of it. Because you're going to see that team in, with the Pelicans, and they're going to struggle a bit. And I love the players that they have, man. I love Ingram, and I really, really love, you know, obviously the dude. Oh, my God, Zion Williamson. You can't not love him, right? But
And
also I mean, got a lot of their buckets off some easy things that Lonzo was able to do in transition. Especially, mm-hmm. you know, Zion, you know, he was able to fly above the rim on some lobs from Lonzo that no other player is throwing except his brother. You know what I mean? And so moving forward, I just, you know, I think they're going to struggle a little bit, man. I think they're going to not get those easy buckets and, you know, dude averaged 27 points a game. But, you know, how many assists did Lonzo average, you know, about?
Yeah. And I think like a big thing coming up here for the Pelicans that, I mean, the Pelicans brass is kind of like, I don't want to slander it too much, but it's one of those family-run organizations, per se. You know the struggles with that sometimes. And sometimes family-run organizations make some confusing basketball decisions because the people making the basketball decisions aren't necessarily the most tuned-in basketball people. But Zion said at one point, you know, he really loves the trio and, like, the core group that they have when it was Lonzo, Ingram, and himself. Like, I feel like those three guys complement each other a lot, like you're saying with – Lonzo's passing ability, he spoon-fed Zion a lot of plays. Like, it's a win-win kind of, like, scratch your back, I'll scratch yours thing relationship between Lonzo and Zion, and you know, especially defensively, too. Like, Lonzo's tough defensively. He's built to play some good-ass defense.
People discredit him from that, but he is very good. You're so right on that, man.
Dude, and he's still young. He's 23. Like, you've seen LeVar Ball. Dude's jacked. Like, Lonzo's getting there. Lonzo's going to be jacked by the time he's 26, 27. Like, he's going to be strong as shit. He's gonna have some Jimmy Butler arms, dude. Like, it's just like disheartening because, like, I already am like, dude, Zion's gone. Like, their contract situation's coming up in I think it's like year after next, and he gets to decide to walk or not. And like, if you just traded away his freaking binky,
the guy he was vocal in the media about wanting,
like, that's just like a slap in the face to Zion kind of thing. It's just like,
you know what's so crazy, Mike? And what I heard on a podcast recently, and it's so funny, I was just listening to them, man, Bulls Central, and they were on there talking about, you know, who is with the Pelicans is Jerry Reinsdorf.
Oh, boy.
And how, you know, there's that little thing coming on with the Bulls right now about tampering. The Lonzo Ball thing, like, still trying to figure that out. And, you know, lo and behold, Reinsdorf is, you know, he's right there in New Orleans. So it's kind of one of those things where we're going to see what happens. But
yeah, is Reinsdorf calling foul or something?
Oh, that's what I kind of heard, you know, and I'm not sure if it's true or not, but, like, you know.
Yeah, and also think of this. So you let Lonzo walk. You sign Devontae Graham. How much of an antithetical ball mover and player is Devontae Graham to Lonzo Ball in terms of complimenting Zion? Defensively, passing, if he wants to. He's going to try to dribble pass to take a fadeaway first.
Oh, man.
I like him as, like, an off-the-bench dude, but Jesus Christ, he does not compliment Zion at all.
At all. And, like, that's the saddest thing right now that's happening is, like, these guys are not able to like see what they have and then piece them together. Because if you have Lonzo Ball and you can like somehow find like a guy who can score it a bit, or a big that like, you know, is active, like that's mm-hmm. that's a high level, you know, shit. You can go from being not in the playoffs to like a, you know, five seed. You watch the Hawks do it, bro.
Yeah.
Like Trae Young was cool, but he wasn't going.
Chemistry is everything.
Chemistry, bro, you know, and so that's, you know, I would love to see what the Bulls do, you know, what they did, and the DeRozan thing. What do you feel about
it? Yeah, that, dude, so I got it in front of me. It's ironic, like, everyone's known this trade has existed for like 3 weeks now, almost, I guess probably two, but Wednesday, August 11th, which is tonight as we're recording at 9 o'clock here. The trade's official. It just went through. Al Farouk Aminu to San Antonio in exchange for DeMar DeRozan and Thad Young and draft consideration. The Bulls also signed Thad obviously going to San Antonio, but they worded that so weird on the transaction report. That doesn't make any sense how they're wording this. But also in this little tidbit, they re-signed Javonte. Javonte Green, which I think Javonte Green on the wing. I mean, maybe, you know, we'll see how much Tiki gets, because Pat Williams is looking freaking solid, and like they could go like big wings if they wanted to, like if they're really feeling froggy, like they could go like Lonzo, DeMar, Pat Williams, Lowry, and then big boy there. Who's big boy there? Oh, Vucevic. Yeah.
That poor guy.
But like that's a big ass five, dude. Like that's a gnarly closing the game lineup. Like defensively too. Like you don't got to worry about Vucevic not being that great defender when you got all those guards out there who can play some D.
That's something I will say. You know, we have traded for that, and we have better, better players. I just hope they're committed to defending as much as possible. But you know, I think we have a shot, man. Like, and I love the fact that we, you know, moved on from some of those draft picks that we took. You know, whether they were mid first round or mid second round, I was happy to, you know, see them move on from a few guys. I don't want to name anybody, but Denzel Valley, very happy about that move. You know, gee whiz, man. Like,
yeah, tough, you know, tough man. Development arc on him.
Yeah, either way, man, Michigan State guys don't pan out right. They've been so weird.
Draymond, yeah. Jaren Jackson's all right.
Unicorn, bro. He's a unicorn. You know, I don't want to mention any players, but there was a guy that decommitted from them, that we talked to, and he might have been probably one of the best players in Michigan State history based on what he did where he was. And that's
if it's a let him.
Yeah, he wouldn't have let him, man. And like that's how, and that kid, he averaged 15 to 16 points a game. You know what I mean? And Izzo would have never let him go. And he might have averaged 8 and or transferred, you know, been a JUCO guy, like gone crazy. Who knows?
Yeah. Like, yeah.
That was
yeah. I mean, we can say we're dropping him Sunday. We got Syracuse legend Eric Diefendorf coming on Sunday's pod. So definitely keep an eye out for that. But he, Andy found the sneaky tidbit of he decommitted from Michigan State. He was originally a Michigan State guy. He's a Detroit kid. Detroit man. At this point, he was a Detroit kid. he ended up decommitting and going to Syracuse. But that whole story on that is that'll be dropped Sunday if you want to check that out. But yeah, man, I like the Bulls roster right now. Have you had a chance to check out Pat Williams? He dropped 30 the other night in summer league.
I did.
He looks like he made a step.
I like Pat, man, and you know what's awesome about Pat is he's a Florida State kid, right?
Yeah, he was Florida State.
Yeah, and that's why I love Coach Leonard Hamilton. Give him a lot of love, man. Is he develops pros, and they always keep getting better, regardless of. You know, kind of how everything came in. And I was nervous about Pat, you know, I won't lie to you, but I watched him come in and some of the things that he was, you know, his strengths were finished around the rim, but he also hit some shots, man. And he did hit some shots off the dribble, you know? And so that was nice to see that he's like, you know, he's actually made some improvements. And, you know, I'm excited to see, you know, how does he, you know, keep progressing, man. He's a fourth overall pick, bro. We need that. If he can make some plays happen for us, I'm all in, you know, and add to what we've, you know, brought in, then hell yeah, let's rock.
The good news is pressure is kind of off with DeMar and Lonzo in town now. Like, there was going to be a lot of pressure on him going into this year to really make that leap. And now it's like, you can just play your role, play good ass defense, get those garbage buckets, take a shot if you really need to, but not really expecting you to start pulling up in year two necessarily. He's got some funny similarities to Scotty Barnes, who just went this year. Like, a lot of similarities, size, like bounciness, you know, developing his skill set kind of thing, running out young.
They recruit certain guys over there.
As hell.
Yeah.
Just he's still 19, dude.
Yeah. Now you know, you have to love it. The biggest thing that I would say for me is the ability to handle the ball and then make a play off the bounce is why I like Scotty a bit better, even though they are very similar size.
Yeah, Pat's getting there.
Pat's getting there. You know, so I'm interested to see kind of how, you know, Billy develops it and like what skills he's going to allow to.
Pressure's really on Billy this year.
Pressure is more on Billy now than it ever has been, but I think I think he likes it because like he came in having to coach Russell Westbrook and all them cats over there at you know, okay,
see, yeah,
he's good, man.
The end of Russell Westbrook's career when he was just a triple double hunting.
Oh, dude, man, like either way, he got that thing rolling, man. Billy, Billy lets you play, he's gonna always let you play, and for our
guys, coach.
You know, that's why I think, you know, it's one of those things where, hey, I think Zach might come back. You know, he's like literally being given a coach that's going to allow him to do what he needs to do. I just hope that Zach shares the ball. That's it.
I mean, it's kind of ironic. Like, Zach LaVine's got a similar contract situation approaching to Zion, and it's going to be kind of their decision on, do I want to take a little money here, a little money elsewhere? The Bulls kind of swiped it from the Pelicans there in terms of the key player that can make that happen. But hey, UCLA connection never dies. Shout out our guy, Coach Dave Grace.
Always Dave, Coach Dave Grace. Man.
He's living the life at Summer League right now, man.
I keep seeing him, man. He's hanging out. He's getting with all the West Coast guys right now. I saw him Rico Hines today. That was awesome, man.
Yeah, he's catching up with all the old recruits. It's pretty fun to watch.
Love it.
Speaking of actually, before we move on for the Bulls, where do you got any way too damn early predictions for what seed they could end up in?
Well, this is where I'm going to throw us out at. I live in Orlando right now, so what I'm going to say right now might ruffle some feathers, but that's okay. I think that the Bulls, honestly, man, are a team that they're either like a between a 6 and 8 seed, where they will completely tank this year. There's no in between with this squad. Like, they're either going to be like solid or they're going to be awful, because people are either going to accept their roles, and then we're going to have to really battle the East. The East is a monster, you know.
Yeah, I mean, we were running through the other night. Like, just if you look at the Eastern Conference right now, it's like the Bulls are stacked, but it's also like, how well are they going to fit together? Like you're saying, like it could just not fit. Vooch could, you know, end up aging out a little bit, and same thing with DeRozan. Maybe DeRozan's loses a step. Huh?
We might be a team that shoots a bunch of twos. Like, we got the Rose.
Yeah, that also like, might not work that way. Yeah. Who's going to shoot the threes? Lonzo and LaVine. Ironically, Lonzo's going to be, like, the second-best three-point shooter on that team, probably, which is crazy. It speaks volumes about how much he's worked on his jumper, which, hey, you know, congrats to you for getting Lonzo Ball when his jumper's finally watchable and like going to be wonderful to have on the squad. Like, that's
I'll give him that. Oh, agreed. He's down to work, and I'm fine with that.
Hell yeah. No, that's
how we got to see what the heck are we going to do? We're paying all this money. Are we gonna actually, like, are we going to really make like a real run? Like, I mean, the Hornets, honestly, like, what about the Hornets? Like, they're pretty tough. Like, there's some teams that are on that lower end that are like,
everyone knows the top four, but like after that, that's where it's going to get interesting. Like, is Javante Green going to be a really good role player? I think he could fit in well next to Lonzo and the guys. Same thing with Kobe White. Is Kobe White going to fit in his role, like you're saying, or Is he going to be a little bit rough off the bench? Demote himself.
Yeah. Kobe White's about to demote himself right now.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So now we're, you know,
the better man of the squad,
bro. He was a starter all year and he averaged, you know, 10 plus all year. And now you got somebody thrown above you. And you have a guy that said he wanted to leave and he wasn't really sure about it, you know, and he's in his last year of his contract with Zach. So it's kind of like, man, is this a move for the Bulls to make another move? I've been thinking about that too now. So,
Yeah, I mean, now you got those. Those are some top heavy pieces, some fat contracts, some decent Zach's players attached. Like, bundle a couple together and see what.
What you can.
I mean, what would be your dream get right now? Like, I mean, let's say Luka gets pissed off at Dallas for not playing enough around him. I mean, that, and he's demanded a trade. That'd be, I mean, because I mean, things aren't that great in Dallas right now. We're going to get into Jason Kidd in a second here.
I do. I think that there's some pieces to move and. There's definitely some guys that are going to be open. And honestly, you know, for a max contract coming up, you know, I would hope that we can make a move for Zach, like, and people do something to get some draft picks, to be honest. Like, he's a guy that, you know, man, he wants to have his own
team. You want to keep Zach or you're trying to move Zach? For
I want to move Zach, man. I want
to. You want him to re-sign and you want to trade his ass?
Nah, I mean, like, dude, we got to move him now.
Oh, jeez.
Time to go.
Danny finally gets a contender. He wants to blow it up.
Time to go. I love him to death. No, great, great player, phenomenal player. But what we could do with him is like we could help him out to move somewhere maybe he wants to go and then get some draft picks out of that, man. Like, dude, I don't know. It sounds crazy, but it's like, dude, we keep him.
If it
like,
doesn't work, I mean, what does he have another year after this?
He walks after this.
Oh, gee.
And so, you know, what are we going to do? You know, I don't even know, like at the end of the day, if you're a Bulls guy, you're like, dang, like, what the heck do, you know, what are we going to do with this? You know?
I mean, I feel like obviously, you know, those moves were an attempt to keep Zach. But if Zach shows any sort of like, nah, I don't fuck with these guys. Like, I don't really want to stay here before the trade deadline. I mean, I don't know. Maybe you're right. I mean, because you could definitely throw him maybe with, you know, another one of those young players. Maybe his running mate Kobe White goes with him or something, or Laurie.
No chance. We're not
gonna you love Kobe, though. You don't want Kobe gone.
But Carolina guy, he's 6'5 for no reason.
Yeah, he's nice.
And he can score the ball.
He's young.
And he can shoot.
I mean, you could get a serious haul for Zach. And, like, if DeRozan and Vooch aren't, you know, on the back end of their careers, which they were fine last year, I'm not, like, saying that they're necessarily going to take an age drop-off or something. But you could definitely get something for Zach if it needs to happen. But that would – that would be tough. I think the Bulls faithful would be upset. But, I mean, the Bulls finished 11th last year. The Pistons were all the way down at 15th. The Raptors were right behind them at 12th. Yeah. I can see all three of those teams moving up into the playoffs. But the playoffs already last year for the East was freaking ridiculous, like, in terms of depth. Like, that's – I mean, I guess actually, you know, the play-in people weren't exactly the greatest. But the Pacers had a down year. Like, the Pacers are probably going to be in the playoff mix. The Hornets will be in the playoff mix. The Wizards,
no,
they took a step back.
And Bradley wants to be out.
Seas will be there. The Heat will be there. I mean, Sixers, Nets, Bucks, Hawks, Heat are pretty much like, and Celts, I think, are pretty locked for the top there. And I think you throw the Bulls in there with those moves. So then that's like seven freaking teams. Like, that all, like, depending on how injuries go, like, could go any freaking direction. And I mean, injuries are just part of the season, and managing them with your depth is, you know, half the battle. But I mean, the Pistons could be really good and end up out of the playoffs. Raptors could not suck this year and be out of the playoffs. Bulls, like you're saying, like, who knows how it Raptors, fits.
You know, they still have their team, you know, and they might, though, make a move. Like, they're talking. Yeah. I saw some moves on, you know, the kid, dang, what's his name, man? What the heck is his name?
Van Vliet.
Nah,
Boucher, Pascal,
man. I saw like some moves that may move him, you know, coming up here in the future. And it's like,
you think they get French Canadian kind of sounding names because they're in Canada? Like, Boucher, Fred Van Vliet.
Boucher is from there. He's from Ontario.
I know. He's Toronto, right?
Yeah, dude, yeah. Kid, it's crazy. Yeah. Oh, like he was a JUCO guy, and you know he came from junior college all the way up, and
ridiculous. Run,
bro. Like so, it's there's a lot. There's a lot going into the East, man, and there's going to be a lot of movement all the way until October. So, you know, even with these guys that are playing right now, man, you see guys getting contracts, man, that are like.
Yeah, speaking of contracts. Sorry, go ahead.
No, keep going. You're good.
Dude, you know the Charles Bassey situation. Yeah. Should we talk about that Charles Bassey situation?
Let's talk about Bassey.
Dude.
This is something for a lot of people to learn about right now.
Like, that whole thing makes no sense to me. So, Bassey was 46th pick, so mid-second rounder. Generally, like, second-round picks late, you know, and late first are, like, pretty slotted. Like, you know, unless they're getting, you know, second round picks, you know, sometimes get a little two-way deal or something that's not quite as guaranteed. But his agent told him to sit out the summer league until he signs. So that's interesting because that's giving an opportunity for guys like Isaiah Joe and it's a big guy down there, Reed. It's Joe Reed too. Another Joe. Hold on a sec. The bunny is having a little tantrum.
I can hear it.
You can't hear it?
I can hear it a little bit. It's not too bad.
All right. Well, I mean, so that gives, you know, the opportunity for, you know, those guys to step up and, A, get the playing time to show that, like, they deserve a roster slot. And, B, you know, Bassey isn't getting out there and proving that, you know, the stuff that he can do that we think he has kind of the skill set and talents to, you know, stick in this league. You know, it's a betting on himself kind of situation. I'm kind of worried he got bad advice potentially, you know, from the agent, and the agent's getting a little greedy. But I mean, if he's getting lowballed kind of thing, I kind of get it. But there hasn't been too much details trickled out in terms of exactly what the hell is going on with that. But well, I mean, what do you think? Like, I mean, if you're a second rounder, like, the chances are you're going to get hurt in summer league, like, not very high. I mean, man, you don't see that many injuries in summer league.
I don't know. It's one of those things where anything can kind of happen. And, you know, for you as a player, you know, you have to look out for yourself because the team ain't looking out for you.
Yeah.
Unless you're a lottery pick, the team doesn't have a bunch of interest in, like, keeping you healthy necessarily. It's like one of those things, like, if you're in sales and you know, you have those bonuses, like, the company doesn't really want to necessarily pay you out. You know, they want you to hit goals and they want you to do things, but they also don't really necessarily want to pay you. And I think there's some guys with the Celtics, you know, and guys just in general everywhere, you know, that they, if you hit your numbers and you hit what you're supposed to do in the summer league, well then dang, it's going to be time to pay you here, you know, moving forward. You know, especially guys that are, you know, not the rookies that are, like, playing for their lives right now. Because there's a lot more of those guys than there are rookies. So, so it's going to be interesting to see kind of how all that plays out, you know, moving forward. Because there are, like we said, you know, different teams with different players, you know, that are older that, you know, are going to utilize this time to, if a rookie does well, you know, they may lose money, but if a rookie doesn't, you know, that the team was planning on doing well, then, you know, they're going to see some money. So, you know, it's kind of one of those, like, get what you get from it. And we're going to see that, you know, as we move forward. But, you know, I'm hoping that, you know, some of these teams are able to take advantage, because without some of these veteran role players, man, like the Bulls, for example, like we talk about, it's one of those things, without that, then you're not going to win. So you might as well just go ahead and blow this up, man, like, and get some, you need to get draft picks. And even if we miss this year, if we miss, fine, we miss, but there's going to be some picks to be, man. And I don't know, dude, we're going to see how it all plays out. But I'm nervous about, you know, betting, you know, and putting all my eggs in this basket right now, because we're putting them basically with, like, four players' hands right now, bro.
Yeah. No, that'll be interesting. I mean, the Sixers also, though, they had a bunch of draft picks this year too. So it's like, you know, I feel like they're running out of roster space. Maybe maybe the Bulls can make a swing with the Sixers, get a little Ben Simmons action. Ben Simmons for LaVine. Maybe they'll throw in some of those picks you're wanting.
Hey, you know what? I don't mind that at all. You know,
not a bad trade partner.
Not minding Ben Simmons at all. I love,
yeah, I know you're a Simmons fan. You'll take all his positives for his couple negatives.
I will at all times.
he's got a hell of a lot of positives.
I will put a bunch of guys around him that can just put that thing in the rim and hit a shot and just do nothing except stand there and hit a shot, man. You know, the Sixers weren't able to really figure that piece out around him. I love Joel Embiid. Don't get me wrong. He's an all-star. He's phenomenal. But it's like, damn, like, you could have, you know.
I'm still like,
you got to move one or the other, bro. You got to move one or the other.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, you can't move the dude who finished second in MVP. It's just a damn shame that, like the fact that those two didn't have – I mean, we can say didn't. I feel like we can say past tense at this point because it's kind of blowing up over there. It sounds like he's inevitably going to be moved, even though there doesn't seem like there's a great trade partner at the moment, unless, like you're saying, your Bulls decide to blow it up. But the fact that those two didn't have a better relationship and, like, become the scariest pick-and-roll duo, like I said, in the past, is just like, man, I'm thankful for as a Celtics fan. That there was a second there, dude, a few years ago where it was like, oh shit, this is terrifying. Like, both of those guys are running the meanest pick and roll. But yeah, Sixers, that whole Bassey situation's just tough. Like, I tuned into that game so ready to watch some Charles Bassey, and instead we got like 30 minutes of Filip Petrušev, the 50th pick. I spoke wrong. Bassey was the 53rd pick, not the 46th. That was Raptors had the 46th. Summer League's been fun. I think we enjoy the Summer League every year, so it's always a good little dose of basketball in the summer. And like you're saying, rookies are playing for a different thing than those vets that are playing, you know, the quote-unquote vets. There's not really a lot of older dudes there, but there's dudes literally just playing for their NBA lives at that point. Brandon Knight sighting this year. He's on the Nets for some reason. That 29 years old. I was like, hey, wait a minute. Is that Knight as in BK? What's he doing out there? So that was funny. But yeah, Sharif Cooper's looked really good in Summer League for a bit. And
I was talking about that. The comeback of the 6 foot and under guard is on its way, you know. He's hitting shots. Trae Young had a phenomenal playoff. You know, it's going to be one of those things where, you know, everybody kind of jumps on the bandwagon, bro. It was like, you know, when
are we on the Trae Young's under 6 foot conspiracy theory?
Trae Young is not 6 foot.
Yeah, he's one of those classic, like, they list him at 6'1". They also listed Chris Paul at 6'1". It's not 6'1". Yeah.
My opinion, I think they're 5'11".
Yeah, no, I mean, that's
like, I think they're 5'10".
They're like, we'll list them. What are you in shoes and kind of on your tippy toes a little bit? That's your height. Yeah. That's what the NBA does.
That's what I do too, man. Like, when I was in college, mm-hmm. man, I played out, I was 6 foot, and I wasn't 6 foot even close. So that's where it is, man.
You play 6'4", though. You play bigger than I do, that's for sure.
You got to play. That's all you have, man. That's all I had, dude. If I didn't, shoot, people would, like, walk all over me, and I would have no chance in anything to ever be on that court. So, you know, as a small guy, you got to go. And I think it's going to be, moving forward, too. And, hey, just I don't even mean to, like, jump off the path, but
that's what we're here for.
You saw Isaiah Thomas today with that video that was posted on Twitter a little bit.
The slow grind.
He was real emotional. Do you think the Lakers are going to pick him up? I saw, like, a little post. L.A.'s kind of interested. Do you think they're going
to take him? I want anybody to pick up Isaiah at this point. Like, yeah, I feel so bad for his whole situation. Like, I don't blame a lot of people, like, blame the Celtics and stuff for, like, you know, how that all went down. And it's like, you know, maybe you can blame the training staff or something, but it's not like we sent him to a bad situation. It's just his hip gave out. which kind of, you know, was his own choice too, to, you know, play through it kind of thing. I don't think anybody was like forcing him to play those playoff games, but I hope he, you know, I hope he gets another something. Like, he deserves some sort of bag. Like, he was unreal for a solid season and a half there. And then his hip finally kind of quit on him, but he seems like he's back a little bit. There was that 81 point pro-am, whatever game that he was in that he dropped. The only thing that scares me about that, though, have you found a clip of like actual, like substantial, like game footage from that one? Or have you just seen the couple clips that I've seen of like wide open threes?
I've seen a lot of open, easy shots, and I'm sure that 50 of those points were very easy, and a lot of guys were nervous, like, to even play against him. And, you know, I'm not hating on IT, man, but like that video that I saw, bro, is a guy that has never been discounted truthfully in his life. And I'm sure that he's had those, like, oh, guys didn't believe in me type deal when I was young and I was small. But that might have been when you were in eighth grade, bro. You're a 30-year-old man, okay? Yeah. And people have been believing in your ass for however long. And this is the first time that they were like, yo, I'm not fucking with this. I'm not paying for this amount of money for your hip and for the thing. And he, like, he really took that personal. And yeah, it's like, damn, like, yeah, this is the business. And you know, whatever, like, dude's 5'10", so like people are like, man, he's more real to them, like, for real, like, he's more real to them because he's similar height. But at the end of the day, it's like, man, listen, what happened is you got passed up a little bit. It is what it is. But you know, it's time that, you know, yeah, go play at another league, man. Go inspire.
I mean, that's the funny thing, like, I know, it's about getting the Brinks truck. He could definitely go get that in Europe.
China.
Is better. Dude, fucking, yeah, that's true. Yeah, China, yeah, he doesn't need to go to Europe.
He wants
to go to the Jim or Fredette League. Go play for the Beijing Ducks or the Shanghai Sharks.
Yeah, wherever you want, bro. Anywhere you want to sign, they'll sign you. But you want to
play about 50 there.
You want to play in the NBA and you're 5'10 and you can't guard me right now. Your hips fucked up and your legs or whatever. So you want to play against the best athletes in the world and get embarrassed?
And then you're being so nice calling him 5'10.
I mean, hey, he wasn't out there guarding guys every night, like causing a problem, like Patrick Beverley does all the time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he just wants something it's played out, bro. It's dead.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a little sentimental with IT. He gave us some good times, but I'm not going to lobby for the Celts to sign them. That's for damn sure.
Yeah, okay,
I don't want no more short guards on our team. We've had 6 years of short guards that we've had to hide.
But you feel bad for him while he's crying in a fucking hallway, but you don't want to sign him. Yeah.
I want the Wizards to sign him.
Wizards. The Wizards
had him a second ago. You know what?
We're going to talk about Ish Smith a little bit, okay? And hey, how Ish Smith could hoop.
Heck.
And they got rid of him. And Isaiah was already with the Pelicans, and they got rid of their point guard, and they still don't want him.
Yeah, no, I mean, I could see the LeBron pulling the trigger on that.
LeBron
add him to the old man squad.
Yeah. Bring everybody on that you feel bad for, and like, so when does Andy Rashan get a fucking contract? Does he get a contract? Somebody call Andy Rashan, because, like, you know, some of this has been crazy in my life. So, you know, like, call me. Nah, because it doesn't make sense.
Shoulders, hips, it's like the upper body's equivalent. So, like, shoulders, you know.
But no, shit don't work like that, man. And at the end of the day, for him, he's got to, you know, he's got to accept that fact, bro. This is the first time in life, like, for real, that, like, people they don't want your services, man. And that's okay. But there are other people that still do. And, you know, he could still be a huge, you know, like a huge impact, man, in the game of basketball, bro.
Yeah.
You know? Like, he should be playing in the TBT every summer. Why are you not playing?
Yeah.
Why are you playing in that stupid-ass Pro-Am League in Seattle and crying in the fucking hallway? Play in the TBT. You know, go against some guys, man. Like, get your name back out there for real, for real. Mm-hmm. If that's what you're really trying to do, go bust some dude's ass that, like, people are watching. You know, like,
yeah, or even go, I mean, go light up, like you're saying, go light up China, and maybe that gets you back in there.
And then come back.
He, He tweeted some stuff after, I guess, after people reacted to the video. I honestly never saw him across it. I've been a little busy, but he was a
dumbass on TikTok. So
that's funny. That he tweeted, you know, that emotion was tied up for the last 4 years, battling every single day. I ain't talking about the league giving up on me, blah, blah, blah. The world was giving up on me, the shitting on me while I was down and out, like all this stuff. And it's like, I mean, like, I don't really remember people shitting on him when he was down and out.
And when was he down and out? What is this down and out? What the fuck does that mean? Down and out, averaging 26 points a game? Because nobody has ever been down and out on you, my guy. The only people maybe is like the NBA execs that said, man, you know what? We don't want to pay this guy to come jack 23 shots a game. And that's real. Yeah. So
yeah.
I don't.
Yeah. And then you be like I'm the classic matador on defense. But he was, you know, 60th pick. He's always kind of had that like Tom Brady chip on his shoulder. I was the last pick kind of thing. And he was short. But
he's so lucky he played in Boston with that Tom Brady fucking comparison. Never in their same breath. I love Tom, you know, and dude, like Tom won when he shouldn't have won. Okay? This guy has had every reason to win. He's been in the best city with some of the better players around him, and he had to be the guy. And so being the guy, you have to win and you have to produce. And if you don't, then guess what? It's time to move on. Because guess what? Paul Pierce always produced, bro, every year.
Yeah. Playoff till, every year. Till we shipped him to Brooklyn, and then thankfully he stunk.
Well, whatever. But guess what? All it took was like, wow, damn, all we need to do is bring in like a few players around Paul. Like he had a bunch of guys around him that like either were a little bit like out of their, you know, prime, or he had a bunch of guys that like, you know, they just didn't work as hard, bro. Like Antoine Walker's unbelievable. But did Antoine Walker really like grind it? I don't know.
Yeah, probably not. But given his physique towards the end of his career, which wasn't even really that old in modern NBA speak,
we're just talking about the grind what Paul put in. And once there was a couple players that matched exactly how hard he worked, the whole thing was on. And so, you know, that's why I say it's going to be interesting to see how, you know, some of these guys move forward. And
the report is the Lakers, and this is worded funny, have quote-unquote weighed the potential signing of Isaiah Thomas. So does that mean that they've made the decision on if they don't want to or if they're going forward with it? But, you know, it's kind of similar, I feel like, to the Melo situation, which at least Melo 6'8". But it's like I think a lot of him not getting back – getting back into the league since he's been healthy comes down to that, like you're saying, like being the lead guy. Like, is he willing to just come onto a team and be like the veteran 12th man that doesn't really play a lot and is just like a really good like glue guy, you know, kind of thing, and like not gonna get shots? Like, I don't know. I feel like that may be a contributing factor, but at the same time, like I said, like I hope he gets a contract for his sake and so he can have a little closure on it. But like you're saying, man, he missed out. He can't blame anybody on missing out on money except for himself for not going to Beijing fucking immediately. If Jimmer Fredette can do it, then you certainly can.
And paid and then come back and figure it out, man. Like there's opportunities, but don't sit around and cry and, you know, bellow in your own sadness about, you know, something you have a lot of control over. You know, that's just my thought, man. Like,
yeah.
It right now it doesn't seem like, I think he made his money, bro, in the league, and it's not about his family at this point. It seems like this one's about him, and you know that may be why he's kind of, you know, he's trying to prove the fact that, you know, he can play here in the NBA. I think that may be it. But I would hope that's it. Otherwise, like, I don't understand. Like, if it's about family, then ride. But I don't think it is anymore, bro. I think this is really about, you know, what he wants.
It's a pride thing. I mean, it's probably why he, you know, became the scorer he was at the stature he is and stuff. Absolutely. Like, it's confidence, pride, and, you know, kind of like that Kobe mentality or whatever it may be, in terms of, you know, not willing to give it up. And also kind of just wanted to stick it to the league and prove that, like, you guys were wrong. But yeah, like we're saying, there's not a very great chance that that really happens at this point. Well, like, he's not too old. He's 32, but yeah, he's got a lot of tread on the tires. He's a little tiny, a lot of tiny. And, you know, I don't think his defense has probably gotten better in the last 4 years that he's been out of the league.
Got to prove that he can do something else except shoot the basketball. And that's what he's only proved to do. So
you mean dropping a highlight tape at 81 points in a pro-am against no defense isn't proving anything we didn't already know?
That was lame. And yeah, I wish that wasn't there. Yeah. Like I said, you know, it's clickbait, man. It's a lot of clickbait. So
Welcome to NBA offseason.
Yeah.
Next, we're gonna see the Andre Drummond 3-point compilation. Maybe a little Deshaun Stevenson dunk show in some sort of something. No,
we'll do something out of pocket. You know, like I remember when DeAndre Drummond came out. And, you know, he was playing point guard once. You know, especially during the COVID time, he was playing point guard. So that got a lot of hits and views. And then, you know, during the season, he you know, miraculously only posted up with his back to the basket in a league where nobody's posting up anymore.
There's
awesome to watch, man. A lot of fake development happening in the league, man. A lot of fake shit.
Yeah, that's what the offseason's for. A lot of smoke screens from front office and players sometimes. It's pretty funny. But there's a clip that went viral the other day of an old Andre Drummond three where he kind of did like a step back around like the elbow extended 3-point line. Did you see this thing?
I have not seen it. No.
So he's at elbow extended, like just off the bump there, just right where it starts to go flat again.
Okay.
He does a little, like, he's just in front of the line. He does kind of like a little ugly ass kind of step back move and goes into his jumper over, I forget who it was. I think it was against the Wizards. So it might've been Wagner, but he put this thing like literally hit the top left corner of the backboard. From that angle to hit the top left corner of the backboard, you got to be like 3 feet, 4 feet left on the trajectory of that shot. And also like 4 feet long. It was like, I've never seen a shot in pro basketball be that far off, not from half court.
That's amazing, bro. I love stuff like that.
Yeah, you got to find that clip. I'll send that thing over to you if I can find it here in a second.
Let's see.
But shit, let's hit a quick little keep the lights on advertisement thing real quick. Yo.
Yeah, my bad. Jesus.
You good? How's the people doing?
Dude, interesting at best.
They sleeping?
No.
Shit. How's Luca doing with the teeth?
Teeth are good, man.
Nice.
He's having a little bit of issues with them, but like not bad. Like the caps are doing all right. He just has like a little bit like with the sensation of like cold or hot. I would say that's like the biggest thing with
relatable
him still.
Except he hasn't ruined his enamel with bad habits or anything yet.
No, that's
funny.
Luckily, his teeth are like falling out, so his like enamel thing isn't like a huge deal right now. Because like at this point, he's still like
gonna grow some new ones.
Yeah, but he's still.
Nice. Yeah, should we get back into her?
Yeah, let's finish it out.
I'm gonna try to roll us into that Jason Kidd, Larry Sanders thing because that's actually from Marin Fader's book.
Yeah, that's crazy.
All right, welcome back for all the IT stands out there. I'm sorry. I don't know who Andy is, but I'm sorry. If you made it this long, we definitely appreciate you. So I know people are pretty passionate about Isaiah as, you know, either side of that coin kind of thing. And Andy ran into some Isaiah stands, I guess, on Twitter at some point. You definitely have the classic, like, I mean, I'm the same way. Like, even when Isaiah was here, I was like, bro, the ceiling on this team's not very high if he's our main guy. But all right, we can't go back down the Isaiah rabbit hole. We wish him all the best, and I hope he gets paid.
Absolutely. But, get paid either way. But, he deserves a great playoff.
Hell yeah. Good guy. That's all I know. Nice guy. Super nice dude. Everyone who meets him says he's like the fucking most open and welcome to like just chilling and hanging out with fans kind of.
Absolutely. I agree with that, man. And I, you know, basically seeing from his videos, man, it looks like that. So I wish him the best.
She started a Giannis Antetokounmpo like improbabilized MVP book at the beginning of the pandemic. Like literally just started it at the beginning of the pandemic, did all, I think she said she did 220 something interviews. You know, and she wrote the whole thing, did all the interviews, publishing and everything, all since the pandemic started, which is ridiculous. But she had some hell of a timing because he won a title, obviously. So that book's blown up quite a bit. And there's some excerpts that went viral today that, you know, I think are pretty topical. Jason Kidd's now the coach of the Mavericks, which the reason why is because Rick Carlisle and Luka didn't get along. So this is going to go great. Good job. Good job, Cubes.
Yeah. If you're not able to get along with Giannis, who is one of the most selfless, hardworking mm-hmm. players in the league, I'm very interested to see how you're going to do with an overachieving Maverick squad.
Yeah,
doesn't really focus on toughness plays or defense. And you know, I saw in the thing he called out Reggie Sanders. I mean, Larry Sanders, and Larry's,
you know,
that's how he built his game, was being tough.
Yeah, and playing some defense is funny. But like you're saying, dude, if Jason Kidd can't get along with Giannis, right? And, you know, the rest of that Bucks squad, that was a pretty fun-loving, like, a good young team that year. It's, like, equally as ridiculous for Luka to not get along with Carlisle. It's, like, by all accounts, Carlisle's, like, a really good coach, really, like, nice dude, like, not. So, like, that – if Luka can't get along with Carlisle and Kidd's already had problems with guys like Giannis, it's, like, that's going to blow up probably pretty quick.
You know, I don't know. I think Carlisle is, you know, you're, in my opinion, like looking at him and just his mannerisms and everything, is he's your prototypical old school coach. However, he's not a dumbass. Mm-hmm. And he's like, well, if I kind of pull the reins back on Luka, we're going to be worse. So I think he's smart enough to know, like, I'm going to let him do what he needs to do, but I don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, at some point it just became, well, you know what? This is where the organization is going. They are going to take the player and not me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's what it truly came down to, is like, we love Carlisle. They love Carlisle, but Carlisle wanted to coach the way Carlisle wants to coach. And I think they gave him the option, like, all right, do you want to change? Nope, don't think so. I'm gonna coach how I want to coach. And it's like, all right, Rick, like, love you to death, but we're going with the player. And you know, they brought in all the
player driven league.
It is, but they also brought in a bunch of players that they followed. You know, mm-hmm. Michael Finley, they followed Michael Finley's lead while he was a Dallas Maverick early. And then Dirk was kind of a younger player coming up during that time with you know, Finley and Nash. And, you know, they kept that moving, and they stay within their organization, man. And, you know, no offense to Carlisle, but he's, you know, he's the one guy that didn't come up through that organization, bro. He didn't. And, you know, they stuck with what comes up. They stick with that.
Good news for him. He's, the Mavs definitely love the homegrown side of things.
And Nash,
but good news for Carlisle, he'll get another job. He's a good coach.
He's already with the Pacers, bro. He just went back home.
Oh shit.
Really? He's already with Indiana. Yeah. He's back there. And you know, it's a perfect spot, perfect team that needed to bring back a guy that's focused on defense and, you know, doesn't need your major stars to win. So, you know, the Pacers are gonna be back, man. Like they are.
I mean, I like that roster. Sabonis is tough. Miles Turner's tough. I think if Miles Turner can put together a nice healthy season, he's gonna.
And Chris Duarte, man, he's there, bro, doing all right in the summer league and showing like he's a grown man and that he's gonna be able to make it.
He's definitely a grown man.
I don't know why people like
the oldest rookie out there.
Yeah, they like people. The NBA hate that, and then they're getting rid of their, you know, the guys that they drafted number one or number between number one and ten. You know, after four years anyway, they're getting rid of him. They're like, well, he's only going to have a 4-year career or whatever, like 10-year career. I'm like, That's better than all the rookies that you draft anyway. Who gives a damn?
So yeah, it's funny. It's funny how the NBA, like you're saying, like they don't like to draft older dudes that are developed, like a Duarte or like, I mean, I guess a Doug McDermott, even though he didn't really pan out for much.
No, he's still
because of the pan out. He's because still, of the he's RJ. Still yeah, he's still yeah. He got a $10 million contract this year. It's because of like the RJ Hunters of the world. I feel like that sentiment still exists. Dudes who's like
RJ Hunter,
like Georgia State.
I know who he is, bro. But like, come on, man. he's not in the same stratosphere, dude. Yeah, like these guys who don't pan out, they can't be talked about with guys that are still playing in the NBA.
Yeah,
there's just it's unfortunate for them, but it just is what it is, man. And like,
I think one to watch, you know, Obi Toppin. He's going to be another one of those guys that slid because of his age. Could have gone way freaking higher.
Duarte could have headbutted that bullshit like layup that he shot in the summer league. We're not talking about Obi Toppin. Listen, I'm ready to see, like, if prove me wrong right now on this podcast, I pray. But that block right there shows me, bro, like, he ain't here. He's not here to stay. It's over. It's not athletic enough. Yeah, no. Nope.
Oh, treated. I mean, the Knicks fans will hate to hear that. I mean, dude, the Knicks
have signed tweener out of control. Can't really, like, doesn't have control of his body, man. Like,
yeah.
I just think
it's almost like
he's not a winning four.
Yeah, I'd be curious to see what his like body fat percentage is, because it almost feels like not necessarily in the 100% greatest shape. You don't have control of your body like that. Balance, it's sometimes has to do with that. But it's funny, like you're saying, like NBA teams are so hesitant to get that developed player, but at the same time, they're so fucking quick to move off of, you know, a guy like 2 or 3 years in the league, like before they're 24 anyways. So it's like, what do you want? Like, I mean, it's really just everyone's trying to like strike gold and like buy Bitcoin at $1,000 when it's already at 60K, like kind of thing. It's just stupid. Like sometimes the decisions that are made based off of, you know, the age having such a big factor is funny, but that's why you get sleepers and random dudes popping up, 4 years later in the finals having huge impacts, and it's like, oh, he went 40th because I don't know, he went through his junior year.
Oh, fact. And you know, you look at guys like the Lakers who they just signed, you know, Mac McClellan and Chundi Brown, bro. Like, you have to
understand, man. I hope he Chundi does Brown, bro. He's been funny forever, man.
Brown is he's 6'6", like in a wing. He is not a four, and that's what people have to understand about him. Is that he's a true wing, and you
who is that?
Chundi Brown, man. Like
Chundi Brown.
Yeah, dude. He played over here at you know, TFA in Orlando. You know, went on to, you know, Wake Forest, and then he, you know, eventually transferred to Michigan, where he had a great time and he played well, and you know, was like a glue guy for them. However, coming from where he came, he was a top, you know, 100 player, and you know, he can really affect the team. And in the NBA, his game is only going to be better because he's a true 6'6", like two guard, man. Like guys are, you know, 6'6", 6'7", and they play the three, like they're kind of wing guys. They're good defenders or whatever, but this guy's a true two. And like, he wants to shoot the ball. And honestly, like, I just can't wait to see, you know, how he does and progresses, man. Like there's, you know, it's going to be really interesting to see, because as we talk about, you know, all these, you know, we talk about all the Moody's, the Moses Moody and whatever, but is Moses Moody really, you know, ready to make an impact and hit a shot, you know, even though, you know, he's so young, but you know, him and Chundi play the same position. Like, who's to say that, you know, the guy getting drafted later on is going to have a worse career than, you know, the guy going 11th.
Yeah, that's a perfect example of the shooting for trying to find that gold. You know, the 6'9" guy who can do a little bit more or about the same as what the 6'6" guy is. Like, if the 6'9" guy pans out, who knows? He could be a mini Kevin Durant. No, doesn't really work very often. But
it's the workout.
But anyway, match, man. We got to bring us back. I don't know how, but This whole excerpt that went viral from Marin's book, man, brutal. I'm going to just read a little bit of it. And
let's hear this.
And for people that haven't read it, but this is the quote. The Bucks were struggling, dropping a game to Charlotte on December 23rd, right before Christmas. Players returned to the locker room, dejected, silent. Everyone was ready for the next 2 days off of their families. Zaza, kid said, turning to Pajula, addressing the group. You think that was a winnable game? Yes, it was a winnable game, Pajula says. And do you think we deserve the next 2 days off? Pajula couldn't believe kid had put him in that position, threatening to ruin Christmas, ba-da-da-da-da. And he gave a very diplomatic answer. You know what, coach, frustration, blah, blah, blah. Like, we didn't give the effort, but it's a holiday. Christmas is important. It's about our families. And guys have made plans. Kid turns to Dudley, Jared Dudley. What do you think? Should we take the next 2 days off? Dudley also gives a diplomatic answer. Kid wasn't satisfied. He just says, see you guys tomorrow at 9:00. All players freak out. You know, he's saying we're going to have practice tomorrow. They're saying we booked flights. And he says he doesn't care. It's their job. You guys get paid to do a job, so you're going to do your job tomorrow. Things change. Practice next morning was ugly by all accounts. Kid went at Sanders. He called him a piece of shit, a terrible player, and the team ran like a college team would. Brandon Knight was quoted as saying, I don't think I've done that since J. Kidd left. It was not normal. Then they describe another drill. But then, so I read that excerpt, and I was like, wait a minute. December? Didn't, like, Sanders walk away, like, at some point and have, like, a weird – kind of like all of a sudden I thought he was going to be a stud. Like, he was coming up. He had some crazy steals. He had some triple doubles. Like, he was doing some crazy shit for Milwaukee. Triples with, like, blocks. Like, he was a menace, and also just like a really laid back kind of a chill guy, if you know what I'm saying. But, he apparently, you know, after getting berated and, you know, told he's a piece of shit and blah, 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 he walked away from the league. Like, he walked away from the league, disillusioned from the league, didn't, want to play in the NBA for a bit there. And it kind of leads back to that, I guess, that whole practice situation and that berating that he got from Kidd. But, like, that's crazy. Like, that's where it's like, okay, wasn't that Jason Kidd's first coaching gig, right? Like, that's the classic, like, you know, Steve Nash situation. You're a point guard, you're all, you know, all world Hall of Fame player. Like, yeah, you can be a coach. Sometimes that assumption doesn't really work out.
Yeah, man. And you know what it is for point guards, and you know, the only reason I'll say this is just, you know, I played the position and not even close to the level that we're talking about, but from a leadership standpoint, you have to be the guy that guys don't like, because you kind of have to be able to be that coach on the floor that we're talking about. And the difference, though, about point guards and coaches is a lot of coaches have they have like a method to their madness, you know, and yeah, they're going to come at guys when they know they can come at them. And they're also going to call them into the office when they know to call them in. And I think what point guards sometimes, before they become, you know, savvy, is they kind of will, you know, come at every player the same way because they want to win so bad, you know, because it's a selfless position and you want to really win. And you'll kind of come at them in ways that it's like, man, hey, you needed to really pull them in and kind of talk to them about that. And I think that's something that, you know, point guards learn. And I know from me being a point guard going into coaching is like, I coached just like how I played early. And, you know, J. Kidd, I mean, this was his first coaching gig, man. And, yeah. You know, I feel like anybody is able to make that same mistake as, you know, you come in and, you know, you're going to coach kind of how you played a little bit. Like, yo, you're being a bitch, dude, like, for real. And, like, part of my French, but, you know, you say that to people like that. You're like, dang, like, I know I can get, you know, this guy to really communicate and, you know, hear that. Like, he's going to challenge me and challenge himself and he's going to play better. But, you know, as a coach, you know, it's a
bit. There's going to be balances to that too. Just be that dude.
And even as a coach, man, you can't come in calling guys out like a name.
Calling names like that too. Like, especially at the NBA level is a whole different beast too. Like, you really kind of can't get away with that much at all at the NBA level. Like, the amount of money and fame these guys have, like, you start, you know, going at people personally like that in the NBA, it's a whole different thing than college. Your ass is going to be gone.
That's the thing. That's the thing. People mistake the same thing for college players just because they're not getting paid, that you can treat them like that. You can yell at them like that. Nah, like, we had a, you know, a podcast before where we were talking and you said, you know, even your high school coach, like the one that motivated you played, you made you play better. And the one that didn't, he like sucked the life out of you. And it's the same at the highest levels, man. They're just getting paid, dude. So it looks worse. Yep. You know, so if one of us fails in high school and like we can't play for a coach, it don't mean nothing. But if this guy can't, you know, he's losing out on $100 million, like whatever. But I was the same way, man. It's like you need a coach there that's going to, you know, push you, but also knows, man, like to talk to you and develop that relationship. And, you know, I think a lot of these guys miss out on that and they want to coach hard before they have a relationship. And you see what Kid kind of did with that, man.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I used to love Kid for being the guy who decided to put Giannis at the point and put the ball in his hands at a really young age and just live with the mistakes and let him develop. I think that was probably the smartest thing he did as a coach. Maybe the only smartest thing, it's sounding from some of these reports, but you know, just to really show how bad it got, practice ended up being 3 hours. Kid made everybody lift and do pool exercises after. Half team didn't know how to swim, but Kid made everybody run in the pool. Pachula said everybody was so tired that nobody was thinking about Chris. We didn't have energy to open gifts. Kid continued to berate Sanders, though, calling him pathetic. Sanders couldn't handle it, where he was in his life, his career, this practice, all his mistakes, all his frustration, da-da-da-da-da. He said he had a full body convulsion, body broke down, physically couldn't take it. Sanders asked to be excused to the bathroom. Kid said, oh, don't worry. Kid said, as Sanders walked away, we'll wait, then we'll run some more. You know, this is after the kid, you know, just had a full body kind of cramp situation at best. And Sanders left the facility and took himself directly to the hospital. He checked himself in. It ended up being like a mental health related kind of a stay that, you know, you could call kind of a breakdown. That was pretty much all entirely brought on by Kid. Like, if something like this happened now with how mental health's discussed in sports and society, like, Kid's gone, like, that week. Like, that's ridiculous. To the point where you drove a dude to go check himself in for, you know, having a breakdown kind of thing, like anxiety, depression, and all that stuff. Like, that's just so shitty. Like, that's so bad. It's so sad to read, too, especially how it went down with Sanders after with him. Kind of like I'm saying, like giving up on the NBA. Like, I totally make sense now and why he was like, oh, like, what do I care about this shit? Like, he had already made a little bit of money. He was like, I don't need this.
And you know what? It happens way more than you think. It happens at every level, every day, every, you know, I would say minute. There are kids quitting because of the same exact situation, man. And it's not in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
This is in youth leagues. This is in high school. Like, I've had coaches run us like that. You know what I mean? And we weren't getting paid no money. We were just high school kids, man, getting yelled at by an adult about how we didn't play well or how, you know, guys came in, like one guy came in with an attitude, so we all ran. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and to me, like, I hear that story and I'm just like, man, that's a part of the deal. And I'm sure there's going to be other people that hear the same thing and are thinking the same thing I'm thinking. But then, you know, everybody else, yeah, like, well, that's wrong.
Smaller scale.
It sucks because it's like so – that is so normal in athletics. Like, that people that have, you know, that have been at that part, like anybody could be like, hear this story and be like, damn, well, I've been through that. Yeah, you know, I mean, shoot, you've probably been through it yourself, you know. And it's like, you know – there's either, you know, a couple ways you come out at it, but it's like, man, we've all heard those stories. And it's like, you know, that's why I feel like a lot of people are like, man, well, whatever, Reggie, but like, you're good, man. Like, but he's not good. Like, and what happened to him isn't fair. Like, he should still be playing.
Yeah. Larry was a stud, man. Larry was so good there for a minute. He was one of my favorite players, not on the Seas for a second there. I was like, man, we need to get Larry Sanders on the Seas. That's our center solution. We didn't have a center back then. We were rolling Tyler Zeller and shit out there every night. And it was like, what are we doing? Greg Steensma was getting meaningful minutes every game for us. But
what a name. Yeah. Steensma. Okay.
Yeah. Throwback. Great. Wisconsin, baby.
Yeah. I haven't heard that name in a long time. Ben Bruss would like that one. Okay. I like that. There we go.
He was a stud. You know, he's Summer League MVP, man. There are some games. That was a fun Summer League when Steensma was just a block machine. That was back like, I think that was like the Orlando Summer League too, where it was just like, there's not even stands there.
Oh, yeah. Wow, James Stiesma, hey.
But yeah, that was kind of cool. Shout out Marin Fader for uncovering a little bit more of the Larry Sanders saga, Jason Kidd in Milwaukee saga, because that's some that's an interesting tidbit that just adds a whole nother layer to him walking away from the league. It makes it all make a lot more sense because it all kind of got blamed on Wheat, like in the media and you know, and after that, like, and his whole suspension and everything, like, he's walking away from the game. It all kind of got blamed on like a marijuana related thing, which is such a tropey bullshit thing for him to be like, he's started smoking pot and then he got complacent and didn't want to play basketball anymore. It's like, no, his coach was a freaking asshole. And he decided, I don't need this mental, you know, torment. I'm good. Like, I'm, you know, I got 20 million in the bank. See ya.
Which, that is something I definitely agree with. You know, because it's the whole, like, you know, and it's all about the quality of life, rather, like, what do you want and what do you see for yourself? And then it comes down to, you know, how do I feel and how are people treating me, man? And, you know, he made his choice, and I think the media really, they overblew it and they didn't report the right things. You know, I think Jason Kidd should have had to, you know, I don't think that, you know, we need to blame Jason Kidd, but like, they need to, you know, he needs to answer a little bit about that. You know, he didn't even have to answer about this at all.
Oh, yeah, that was, you know, none of that came out back in the day. Like, that was very much in the locker room stuff, you know, as it is.
Even him leaving the team was, it was never about what, you know, happened with the team. It was kind of like, you know, what the front office thought of Jason Kidd. It was never, you know, well, hey, this is, you know, really, truly about the team, like, and how the quality, you know, what they felt like, you know, hey, does our coach really care about us type thing.
Yeah, but hey, Luca, enjoy. Mark Cuban, great choice, great hire. Definitely a culture fit.
I can't wait to see how that one rolls.
Yeah, know, this shit's going to be funny. Oh, my God.
I guess, but we'll see, man. We're going to see how it rolls, bro. Yeah.
Shout out Denver for another Western Conference title. It'll be the best team in the West again. So let's, you know, you want to run down some, like, transactions? Look what the heck's happened here last few days since last week's pod with the fire hydrant of transaction movements.
Yeah, definitely.
We got Willie Barton's back to the Nuggets. Love that. More Nuggets are going to be the one seed again in the West. I love Willie Barton on that squad. He's such a good fit.
Nuggets were the Nuggets, like, I don't know how they slipped into the one seed, man. That was so crazy.
Yeah, Nikola was nuts. I think they have such good complementary players. And, I mean, Nikola played out of his mind after Murray went down. If Murray's healthy all year, they're going to steamroll people. actually, shit, when does he come back? Because he must, like, when did he get hurt?
Mid-season?
April 21, he got the surgery.
Oh, wow. Okay, that's fine.
Jamal Murray, when's he coming back?
I would say probably.
Injury news and update.
I would say, like, you know, in that, you know, December
area. This is funny. This article described it as a severe ACL tear, as if there's, like, a non-severe ACL tear. Let's see. Where's he at? There's no timetable for Jamal's return still. And this is an article from 8 weeks ago. So maybe there's something newer, but I don't see anything newer right now on here. He's got, I mean, if Jamal, even Jamal can come back, like, say it's a full 12 months, April to April, like, that's fine. If he's back for a month before playoffs start, or no, because we're going to be on regular schedule this year, that's not going to be before playoffs start. That's going to be, like, as playoffs start this year, because we're going to be back to the June finals, not the July finals like it was this year.
Exactly. Yep.
Shit. That's, I mean, that's tough. Hey, Marcus Howard, baby. Let's go. It's going to be playing some point and relied on for some buckets this year.
Wow.
I don't mind it. But it looks like Sam Decker's a Raptor. Whatever. Alfred Payton's back to the Suns.
Alfred.
Don't mind it.
Back.
He could be ninth man kind of thing for them, fit in a little bit, not relied on really for much. Patty Mills is officially on the Nets. All these things are kind of like
Patty Mills to the Nets.
Yeah, that happened like a week or two ago. They said that during the Olympics, but it officially went through. But wow. I love that, right?
Wow, that's a terrifying gift to them. That's a tough scorer off the bench, man.
Yeah.
Wow.
Smart veteran point. Like, it's a good Dinwiddie replacement. They had to get something.
Absolutely. Yeah. Dinwiddie leaving was that's tough, man. I hope
Dinwiddie got the Bitcoin bag.
He did. He did. Good player.
Yeah, he's sick. Iguodala signing with the Warriors.
As
Frank Jackson, Corey Joseph, and Rodney Magruder to the Pistons. That's like, I feel like I just read the same guy three times there.
Hey, did they have a chance with Nicholas Batum? Is he going to make a move, or is he going to stay in, with the Clippers? Do you think that? Like, I was kind of trying to read on him a little bit.
Is he still floating around?
I know he's unrestricted, so like I'm not sure if it's like anything that's gonna happen, but he's one guy that I was like, you know, had my eyes on, you know, as far as what the heck would he do.
Why does it say Hornets? He's not on the Hornets, right?
Clippers.
Yeah, what the hell? Hoops hype, update your shit. Why does that say Hornets?
Yeah,
is that because the Hornets gave them the contract? Why would you still leave the he's Clippers. Looks like he's signed through.
He's stuck
through this year.
Okay.
He'll be unrestricted in 2023, but these numbers are purple. What does that mean? Doesn't that usually mean player option or? I think it's got something to do with cap hit. Yeah, he's still a Clipper, I guess.
He will be a Clip, man. That's gonna be. Dear God. Can't believe some of these.
Yeah, he signed a 2-year deal recently. But it's only $3 million, man. That's freaking nothing for Batum.
You know, and like he's been like was one of France's biggest for that run that they had. So that's why I was wondering. Okay.
Yeah, I mean that's dirt cheap for a contributing vet. You guys got Caruso, of course, who we didn't really touch on, but about him in the mix.
Yeah, let's talk about Caruso just for 2 minutes here. What are
you into Caruso or
37 mil? You know what, man? I'm not in the, I'm going to tell you for 12 seconds as to why I was not a big fan of this is because today on TikTok, I was watching a guy who maybe trains him, maybe doesn't train him, but he was trying to guard Caruso and he was cutting him off every single time. But Caruso was like hitting jumpers over him. So I think we overpaid, Mike. I think we overpaid for that. Don't really know what he's going to do for us, man. I think this was like, this is get your contract type deal. And, you know, after he doesn't do anything, then what do we do?
Yeah, I mean, $9 million, $8 million, the contract runs 8.5 to 9.5, essentially, the next 4 years here. It's a 4-year deal. So you'll have him 27 through 30. I mean – it's like he's all right from three. Let me go look up the number here.
It's probably the number that he was wearing in his fucking uniform, which is 37, probably 37% or worse. That's
he shot 40 this year
from three. Oh man, okay, good.
Yeah, so, I mean, he hit 40. He's 40% of the threes this year. That might be a little bit of your solution, but also the year prior, he only shot 33%. He's not a high volume shooter. He shoots only 2.5 a game, which is the most he's attempted in his whole career so far. So that's like, you know, you're not really going to rely on him to be the bailout 3-point guy to balance out your roster. But again, he's kind of like Javonte Green to me. Like he could be useful with a guy like Lonzo, but am I that high on him? Not really. I don't know if you can really overpay a guy if he's a decent role player at $8-9 million. Like, dudes are so freaking expensive now. It's ridiculous. Like, $10 million for pretty much anybody who's going to contribute is the norm. But, I mean, I don't really know if he's going to push you guys over the edge. I can see him being like eighth man contributor, on a good team, not necessarily a championship team, unless you got LeBron and AD. But, you know, he got his title in LA, so he's wanted to go get a little money and a little more fun elsewhere. I'm fine. I wonder how he ended up getting involved in that, like, and why he picked them. Like, does he know any overlap with any of the dudes there? Like, has he had buddies with DeRozan or something? They're about the same. DeRozan's a couple years older. I don't know.
I think, like, yeah, like Alex Caruso, I can't believe it. You know, played 4 years at, you know, Texas A&M, and it's just crazy, man. The only guy I knew from there was DeAndre, you know, Jordan. And it's like, you know, you got –
shout out AC Law.
Shout out AC Law, who got drug under the bus last year or something. Like, unbelievable. True pro and was awesome at A&M as well. So, yeah, you know, the Caruso deal, like, you know, we'll see how it goes. I'm not a huge fan. But, like I said, you know, we got players now, guys that have that other people believe in, and we'll see what Coach Billy Donovan can do, man. We'll see, man.
Should be. Yeah, I mean, it's at least a hell of a better roster than you rolled out there the last several years. So it'll be might be worth your league pass money this year.
Oh, yeah. We're paying for it, man.
Suns re-signed Kaminsky. Korkmaz back to the Sixers, which I wish we could have sniped Korkmaz. Gorgie Dang going to the old the Hawks, which is interesting. They got a lot of big men. I don't know if Gorgie Dang will even see the floor much, unless there's an injury kind of thing. That's probably an insurance move more than anything. Grizzlies got Adams Bledsoe and draft considerations from New Orleans. Got Sam Merrill. Yeah, that's old news. It's so weird. Like, these are, you know, some of these are pretty old signings that just, like, come official, like, days later, week later. Like, it's funny how that works. And then people get mad about tampering. It's like, so what is it? Because, like, the second that free agency starts, there's always, like, 15 signings. So, of course, there's tampering. Like, you're technically not allowed to talk till then, but whatever.
Hey man, I mean, they were talking about that with the Bulls a little bit. I was listening to the podcast, like I was saying before, and, you know, talking a little bit about tampering, and, you know, the Lonzo Ball thing is still, like, being investigated. So,
you know, yeah, like, I said on the last part, like, that's before that whole report came out of them actually investigating it. They don't investigate tampering very often. I think the last one that they did was Paul George. And before that, I couldn't tell you when they last really looked into any tampering, but, I was saying, like, the only way that whole midseason thing makes any sense, any of those roster moves, dumping Wendell Carter Jr., picking up guys like Vooch, the only way any of that makes sense is if they think they're getting Lonzo Ball at the end of the year. Like, that roster makes way more sense with Lonzo Ball than anything else. But, okay, we'll see what happens.
Man, now you're right.
Worst that's going to happen is you know, rich owners are going to lose a little money. So, I don't think there'll be you know, maybe like a second rounder. Like, they're not going to slap them for that much. But, hey, billionaires can build their own stadiums, whatever.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's kind of it looks like for new news. There's not – it's wild. Like we're saying with tampering and shit, like, free agency happens in, like, 3 days. Like, you think, like, all these dudes figured out all this shit in 3 days?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, man. No, I hear you on that. It's people are, you know, they want to call tampering, call this, call that, but it's like, dude, like, then make this like literally 3 days, and, you know, we'll be good money. There's not much time to, there is still plenty of time to call and make calls, man. Like what can you do? And, you know, the best are going to want to play with the best, man. And that's what we've seen year in and year out. And that's where we're at right now.
Well, hopefully the best UCLA guys getting together is good for your entertainment this year. But you want to wrap it there?
Yeah,
absolutely. Start editing this thing at this point.
Yeah. Perfect.
All right. Well, that'll do it for today's ramble. If you hear some noise in the background, it unfortunately was a teething baby bunny. So blame Pop Smoke or Oatmeal. I'm not sure which one's nibbling on their cage for fun right now, but. Andy, where can they find you, as always?
Yeah, guys, you can always find me on Twitter. I'm trying to be more active. AJ Roshan 22. I'm out there, always welcome to talk. I want to talk more basketball and, you know, kind of hear more about people's opinions. I actually finally had that opportunity today. So, like I said, I'm not, you know, I want to hear what everybody has to say, and I want to know, maybe hell, there might be, you know, some different picks out there that, you know, we could kind of talk about that the, you know, even the Bulls or hopefully even the Magic can make with their little runs that they're making. So, yeah, man, you can find me there, and then Coach Roshan on Instagram, and that's where I'm at.
Oh, yeah. And you can always find the pod, Twitter and Instagram are at BYRP365. You can find me at Lenny Biased. I just started an Instagram. I kind of started the account just doing like stupid kind of Celtics edits and just overlapping pictures and cutting stuff and trying to have fun with it. So I started an Instagram. I'm slowly kind of dropping all the edits from the last 4 or 5 years that I've been doing, wasting my my time on that. But yeah, so if you want to follow on that, it's Lenny Biased _ on that. Weird thing about Instagram, they literally will not let you use the name Len Biased. There's no Len Biased account. I couldn't get them to let me use the account. It was weird. Yeah, as always, we got something coming Sunday. Eric Diefendorf, we can officially say, is dropping Sunday. We got a bunch of interviews on the books the next couple weeks, so we got some real interesting stuff coming down the pipe. We hope you guys enjoy it. As always, please share the pod. You know, tell a friend. You know, that's the best way to spread this thing. Is shout out Oatmeal for doing laps in his cage right now. You heard that. But yeah.
Yeah, man.
We'll see you guys Sunday.
Sunday, man. Appreciate you guys all for coming out. And like we said, you know, keep following. And, you know, we got some great Sunday stories. Eric Diefendorf was awesome and got some great stories. But then, you know, also with what we got coming up. So please, guys, you know, follow along, man. It's been a blast.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, Chucky Humphreys, again, for coming on last week. He was real cool. And if you haven't had a chance to check that out, he had a long winding road to pro ball.
And it's a road like everybody else, man. It's a road that a lot of people have to face. And if you're a young guy and that's what you want to do, you want to play pro, man, listen to his story, because, you know, heck, yours may be very similar, and you're going to have to keep battling. So I think, you know, that was a great example of what it's really like, man. Really great. Appreciate you.
Yeah, he's wise beyond his years, man. When he said he was 24, I was like, wait, what? Yeah. But yeah, no, he's got a really good head on his shoulders. It's a reason he's made it as far as he has with the game, and we're excited to see where he signs next. He's got some bounce, he's got some wings, you know, who knows what kind of ceiling he has still. He's a great player, so it'll be cool to watch. That's it.
Yeah, man.
See you Sunday.
Later.